Hey, you guys, this is Brittany Donnelly, and you are listening to the Dust and Soul podcast. I'm so happy to have you guys listening in today. I had a friend ask me recently more about baptism. She had been baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church, but when she was a younger teenager, she accepted Christ and gave her life to God, but she never followed through with baptism because she didn't know that was something that we are supposed to do. So we were having a talk about it, and she just kind of asked me, she told me that she definitely wants to be baptized as an adult, but she was wondering why, you know, what is baptism and why are we supposed to get baptized? And I just thought that was a really good question. And I just wanted to address it on here because I feel like a lot of other people probably have that same question and that just wondering the same thing. And so I thought, well, we'll just turn this into a podcast and so we can share it with more people. So we're just going to kind of talk about what baptism is, when we're supposed to get baptized, why do we get baptized, and who is supposed to get baptized. So I'm just going to start off with kind of telling you the origin of the word baptism. It's a Greek word, and it's baptizo. It means to immerse, to submerge, or plunge. So obviously that means that's not just a sprinkle. It has to do with like putting something completely underwater. So I'm not going to get into just the different beliefs of different religions, but I just wanted to just explain that baptism means to put completely under, to immerse, to submerge. Baptism is essentially a symbolism, and it's also an obedience to God. This symbolism is a sign of you being in unity with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. When we are baptized, if you've ever seen anyone be baptized, when you are put underwater, it's a symbol of you dying to your old self, and you're being buried with Christ in your baptism. And when you are raised up, it's you being resurrected to walk in a new life, a God-led life. You are no longer going to be driven by your flesh. You're no longer going to be driven by sin, but you're going to be driven by the Holy Spirit. You're going to walk a life in line and in tune with the Holy Spirit in obedience to God. And so baptism is just such a beautiful thing to me. I wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Right here it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Okay, I'm going to stop right there. So we see this dying to ourself, dying to our flesh, and raised to life. And so that is one of the things that baptism symbolizes. And that word new, whenever it says newness of life, that's also a Greek word. The New Testament was written in Greek. So that's why a lot of the translations, whenever you hear people talk about Greek or Hebrew, Hebrew's Old Testament, Greek is New Testament. But I just think it's so cool to just look at where the words come from and what they mean, because it's just, I don't know, it's just really cool to me. So I kind of like to do that a lot But the word new in Greek is kainos, and it means recently made, fresh, or unused. And also at one point, whenever I was looking it up, it pulled up the term spick and span. And I just thought that was kind of cool, because just the thought of us being spick and span after, you know, after just being baptized, after our confession and just coming to Christ and accepting that salvation, just being spick and span, just brand new, untouched, unused. You know, sometimes just after being used by the world and after using our bodies and just doing things we shouldn't, and just that exhaustion and just everything, just the thought of him being able to make us brand new is just so sweet. And he does do that for us. This is what he does for us through his mercy. And another symbolism is like just the washing that takes place whenever we accept Christ. And of course, I pick up my Bible and I lose my place. In Titus 3:5, it's talking about, here it is right here. I'm sorry. It says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this is also just more symbolism, the fact that he washes us. And, you know, although we talk about this symbolism, because some people are like, well, if it's just a symbol, then why do we need to do it? But, you know, anyone who has been baptized will tell you that it's very spiritual. I will never forget the day that I was baptized. It was very special to me. And I just feel like that first step of faith is a testament to God. I think that he just thinks it's sweet for us to take that step of faith and just tell him, I trust you. This is what your word says I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. And I just think setting off that relationship with him just in submission and in obedience is just really special. I think it means a lot to him. And so I also want to talk about why we are supposed to be baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized. And I wanted to go over this first because Jesus set the example for us. So this is Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So right there, he's saying, we need to do this to fulfill our righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So the fact that Jesus did this, it was just an example. He was setting a standard for us. And being a Christian, we try to live our lives in a Christ-like way. And this is just one of the things that Jesus did that is very special and very sweet. And just what he says here, thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. That right there is telling us that it's necessary for us to do. Jesus also commands us to be baptized in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. He says, go therefore, this is from the mouth of Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus commands us to be baptized. And then also, in Acts 2, verse 38, the apostles command us. It says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so right there, Peter is commanding the people to repent and be baptized. And repentance, again, is is whenever we recognize our sin and we realize that we are sinners and that we are living lives not worthy, but yet God is willing to pay to rescue us from that life of sin. And we confess our sins and we accept Christ. So Acts 22, verse 16, it says, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So this is Ananias, and he is talking to Paul after he encounters Christ on the road to Damascus. I don't know if you know this story. I wish I had time to tell the whole story here, but if you want to read this story of Paul and his salvation story, I guess his testimony, you can start. It's Acts. You can start closer in Acts. Paul in Ephesus, Paul in Corinth. Really, if you just want to read this part, I would maybe just start at chapter 21. It's when Paul is going to Jerusalem. Just read kind of chapter 21, chapter 22. And I think that'll give you like an idea, and then you can kind of see what I'm talking about. So right after he receives his salvation, Ananias tells him, "Go right now and be baptized." So in three different ways we are commanded. And there's more verses about this, but I just wanted to kind of get that point across that the Bible tells us to be baptized. It's not necessary for our salvation. When Jesus was on the cross, there was a thief also hanging beside him, and he told Jesus that he knew that he was the Son of God and that he believed in him. And Jesus told him, "You'll be in paradise with me today." And so that shows there was no way that man was going to be baptized. And so that just kind of shows right there that if you are unable to be baptized, or if you can't be baptized, or it didn't happen, that doesn't take away your salvation. But we are justified by our faith through Jesus. And it's not necessary. It's not going to take away that salvation, but it is necessary for obedience. And that obedience to God is just such a blessing. I think that just taking that step of obedience and just getting your heart and your mind in line with Christ and just stepping under his authority and getting your heart right, I think it's just a really good way to start off this spiritual walk that you're about to enter, this lifelong journey. I think just to be obedient first thing, it's just a really good way, because when you're obedient with something and you say yes, if you hear God tell you to do something and you say yes, he will very shortly after that give you a new thing to say yes to. He will keep giving you new things. The more you say yes, the more you obey him, he keeps pouring things out for you to say yes to. And it's such a blessing to be obedient to him. And so if you start off receiving this salvation, but not following through with the baptism, it's kind of like, you might not look at it as disobedience, but the Bible commands it. So I just feel like, man, if you got saved, if you could just get baptized right away, that's just immediately a sign of obedience. You're being obedient. You're saying yes to God. And so he's going to have something else right on the other side of that baptism. So I just think that that's another just really important reason. And I just something that I hope encourages you to get baptized if you haven't. So who should get baptized? So not just anyone should go and get baptized. You should only be baptized if you believe in Jesus and if you recognize that you are a sinner and that you need the blood of Jesus to save you, to pay for your sins. So when you do recognize that and you repent and you say, "I am a sinner and I don't want to live I don't want to be driven by my flesh anymore. I want to walk with the Spirit. I need the blood of Jesus to cover me because I'm a sinner. When that happens, those are the people after that you go and get baptized. That's when you should get baptized. And I would say after you profess that faith, I would say to do it quickly. As I talked about before, just that obedience, you don't know what other kind of requests God's going to have right after that, that are going to bless you. And the more you say yes to him, I am telling you, the better it gets. I mean, every single time you say yes, it's just like, it's so exciting. And it's so exciting to start seeing him ask you more in the way that you start recognizing when he's asking you something. And, once you start putting that fear away of saying yes to him, and you just say yes and you follow through with the task, and then he asks you again, there is just something that is so exhilarating and exciting about that. And so again, I would say to do it quickly. And another reason I would say to do it quickly is just this little story right here I'm going to read to you. It's in Acts 8. And let me see, I'm going to find it really fast. It's Acts 8, it's verses 26 through 40. I'm just going to read you this short little story. It's about an Ethiopian slave. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip," so this is God, when it says the Spirit said to Philip, or an angel of the Lord said to Philip, this is God commanding Philip to do something. And Philip is being obedient here, and it just is so funny. It's like to think, what if Philip wouldn't have been obedient? Watch what happens here when Philip obeys. "The Spirit says to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him." So he ran. He was moving quick. He said, "Okay, God." And he ran to be obedient to God. And he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked the Ethiopian, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from getting baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip shared the gospel with this slave. And Philip was, God, the Holy Spirit, God told Philip, go share the gospel with this guy. And Philip did it. And then this slave, who was obviously not a Christian before, he listened to the gospel, and he was so overwhelmed by the thought of the fact that he realized, I am a sinner, and Jesus' blood is going to pay for my sins. And Jesus tells me, because part of the gospel is that Jesus commanded us to repent and be baptized and go on baptizing others. It says, tell the whole world about me and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so when he told this eunuch that, this eunuch was so full of appreciation and thankfulness and joy that as soon as he saw water, he commanded his chariot to stop, and they got out, and he was baptized. This is a heart of repentance. This guy was, he understood. He had the right heart. He understood how much we need God, how much we need Jesus. And so he was so quick to want to go and to be obedient to God. And I just love this story. I think it's so sweet. His heart was so sweet to go and to do that. And I just hope that we can all have hearts like that, to want to say yes to God and to be obedient. And not only was the eunuch obedient, the Ethiopian slave, but also Philip was obedient. And you just think, if Philip wouldn't have been obedient, then the eunuch wouldn't have heard the gospel, and he wouldn't have been baptized, and his soul would not have been saved. And so just this example of obedience here is just so important. Anyway, I just hope that this encouraged you today. I just think that it was really special to me, and I feel like a lot of people needed to hear this about baptism, because I am telling you, I've been trying to record this for about 3 days, and every single time something has happened. So I just hope that this does not fall on deaf ears. I hope that you open up your heart to this. I hope that you open up your Bible and look at these scriptures that are in here. I'll try to list them. I'll link them to the podcast so that you can go through. I encourage you to look up these scriptures for yourself and pray and ask God. And if you haven't repented, if you haven't professed your faith, I encourage you to do so today. And if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to do that as well. I hope this blessed you as much as it blessed me. And thank you so much for listening along today.